Today's gospel lesson shows humanity at their worst and best. We enter into Jesus' world, the neighborhood he grew up in, Nazareth, right after he's entered into ministry and has been healing and preaching all along and on the Sea of Galilee. Excuse me. His followers have been accompanying him, and it's no different in our story today. They show up and Jesus begins to teach as usual. And as you can imagine, in your hometown, after you've been away for a while and then you return, someone cuts in and says, "Hey, isn't that Mary's son? And wasn't he supposed to be a carpenter?" The family must be so ashamed. No matter what he said or did, Jesus could not do what he could do in other places. As he said, it was because of their unbelief, their lack of faith. What a statement. A statement like that to a bunch of devout Jews, and he says that they lack faith. Faith in what? They wouldn't say so, but faith in God. Faith in who God is, and faith in what it means to believe in the kingdom of God and engage in kingdom living. So will you pray with me? May the meditations of my heart and speaking of the word this day be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So imagine being one of the disciples at this point. You have left what you've known when Jesus said, "Follow me." You have gone into the unknown. You are housing insecure. You don't know when your next meal is. You're a vagabond, a traveler. And then on your journey with this interesting, almost otherworldly man, you witness some indescribable things, like ridding a man of unclean spirits, bringing a little girl back to life, healing a woman who's been hemorrhaging for the past 12 years. And then you travel from the Sea of Galilee through the Valley of Wind, coming to Nazareth. And as usual, Jesus is teaching, but you start to notice murmurs in the crowd. You notice that they can kind of hear, but they really aren't listening at all. They are too caught up in Jesus' past rather than what he is sharing with them right now. Jesus' teachings are hardly heard, and he can only heal a few folks. And after that experience and after leaving Nazareth, Jesus calls you. Jesus calls you your name, summoning you into ministry to go and tell and serve in the ways he has exemplified, healing and sharing a new life. So putting yourself in the shoes of the disciples at this point, what are you learning from Jesus? What have you learned about God so far? And what are you learning about yourself? These are questions that we can ask in any part of the story. But it's interesting to think about it now. Now, this practice of sacred imagination that was taught by St. Ignatius of Loyola helps us to enter into the gospel, see ourselves in this grand story of God and God's relationship with God's people. And what I start to think about is how the disciples have found this spark in Jesus, and it brings out the best in them, and they decide to follow him. They've witnessed the miraculous and seemingly impossible. They know what's possible now, and no one can take that away. Not people scorning or laughing at their servant leader they've chosen to follow, not anything. And it's at this moment that Jesus chooses to call his disciples. When Jesus originally invited them to come and follow him, each disciple made that decision. And now Jesus is calling them again to be co-conspirators, co-workers in God's family business, spreading love and new life, a message of hope and possibility. Jesus is calling them to a new level of relationship, to not only transform and live into new life themselves, but to share in new life with the people and all of creation around them. So what are we learning about Jesus at this point? I see a Savior who persistently demonstrates authenticity and resiliency in the face of humanity's worst and best. Authenticity is being unapologetically who he is and carrying out his mission. And resiliency is his ability to face adversity and move forward in a positive fashion. Instead of getting discouraged, Jesus is fueled by the experience in his hometown. In the face of adversity, he organizes for truth, healing, and love. He exemplifies kingdom living and calls his disciples to such a way of life, a way of love. And then Jesus' followers, they go. Although they must have been filled with questions, doubts about their abilities, and they run into struggles along the way, it seems like the disciples are confident about their mission. They're called and sent, each with their specific gifts and journeys taken into account, challenged and gifted with experiences along the way, charged by Jesus to carry on, just as he has done. We learn from this story that God empowers us and equips us through the people and circumstances in our lives. People sharing with us and people to share with. A common bond in our walks, our stories. This sharing of new creation, it's ministry, it's mission, it's risky and no small thing to share new life. It can be exciting, and it can be challenging. It's no walk in the park, except if you do take a walk in the park and share together. It can be life-giving and life-draining, for sure. To share our stories with each other, to walk with each other through the dark and the light of life, the joyous times and the harder times, more sorrowful and filled with struggle. But it's in this sharing that we start to do what seemed impossible. That all those miracles of healing and wholeness that the disciples witness and we hear about, this is when they become real. It's together that we are risen. And by the way, Carol, I did not plan that. I didn't see what Carol had on the altar, and I just love it. It says, family, we rise by lifting each other, and that's what this sermon's all about. We rise by lifting each other, and we have to do it together. It's together that we are risen. We find new life when two or more are gathered, because that is when Christ is here. That's when the body of Christ becomes actualized, right here in this moment. Jesus, by example and through his teachings, had a huge impact on those around him, especially his disciples, so much so that they were empowered and equipped to do what he did, to believe that they could heal, that they could rid people of unclean spirits, that they could preach a gospel of turning lives toward God and each other and following a way of love that recognizes transformation, that accepts new life, and that empowers each person to share life together, recognizing our shared responsibility to one another. So just like the disciples, we are empowered to share in new life together. Now. Salvation is now, friends. That doesn't mean that you need to wait until you're the perfect example of a Christ follower to share with somebody. Or that you need to have it all together. Or that you know the Bible backward and forward and have all the answers. It means that God has worked in you and is continuing to work in you. It means that you live into the questions of the divine mystery and go when you're called to share, to love, to engage, and to work for healing and wholeness. It means that you're living into the possibilities. It means that you hope. And that kind of living, living out loud with immense hope, changes us. That kind of living impacts those around us. and it plants seeds. That kind of living plants seeds. We don't know when those seeds will grow or if they ever will. But this is trust in the God who believes in us, who knows our potential, the possibilities. And we are asked to believe and live into those possibilities. We're invited to engage in kingdom living. Last week I mentioned that Methodist saying, do all the good you can in all the ways you can in all the places you can. And I wanted to add to that a quote that I heard this past week by Maya Angelou. Do all the good you can, and when you can, do better. Jesus empowered and equipped the disciples, sending them out. Who first started empowering you? I invite you to think of that person or the people who took the time to build you up and send you. Who do you feel called to share your gifts with? Pass them on and empower and put time and energy to helping develop the gifts, passions, and graces that you already notice in that person. I want you to hear your name being called from this table, from these rafters, from the streets of this community and this world. You are called. You are needed. You with your gifts and your graces, you. So you, all of you, are welcome to come and share at this table. So let us pray. God, pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup as we break bread together and remember the body of Christ and the blood poured out from your side. And make this bread and this cup be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that when we share in this meal, we become the body of Christ filled with new life in our church family, at home, in our community, and in the world. Amen.